Log Talk Radio.
Good afternoon, everybody. This is Coach Chat. I'm Lori Lawson, and my co-host, who's the best co-host in the whole wide world, is the amazing...
Well, I'm blushing, but you can't see that. Bernie Siegel here. Bernie Siegel from the Catskill Mountains calling you, and happy to be here.
We are all happy to be here. I'm thrilled to have the guests that we have, Marilyn Rose. Marilyn Rose, welcome.
Thank you so much, Lori and Bernie. So happy to be here today.
Well, I'm going to tell them a little bit about Coach Chat, and then I'm going to tell them a lot about you, and then we can get started. Coach Chat, we believe if you change your perspective, you can change your life. And we developed this show for coaches and those interested in one of the fastest growing professions in the world today. We hook you up with some of the world's leading coaches who share their expertise and give you tips and takeaways for expanding and improving your life and your business. And we have come through once again today with Marilyn Rose. Let me tell you a little bit about Marilyn Rose. We have known each other forever, which is just fantastic. She is a transitional life leadership and registered ICF mentor coach with a PCC credential from the International Coach Federation. She's also an energy leadership master practitioner. She's a core e-dynamics leadership and transition specialist. And that came from IPEC, and full disclosure, all of us on this radio broadcast are IPECers, so that's good. Marilyn's experience expands over 25 years working as a social worker in a leadership role in the nonprofit sector, where she focused on team building, leadership training, personal and mindset growth, enabling her clients and staff to lead and empower their own lives while inspiring others to do the same. So we are thrilled to have you, and I'm going to let Bernie start off with the first question.
Welcome, Marilyn.
Thank you.
Our listeners love to know a little bit about the journey that our guests took to get to where they are today. So maybe briefly let us know a little bit about, I know Maury just mentioned social working, but tell us a little bit about how you got to become a coach and doing what you're doing today.
Yes, thank you so much, Bernie, and thank you for that introduction, Lori. Appreciate it, and so glad to share my transition journey, because it really is kind of the highlight and the excitement of the passion that I have in working with my clients today. So probably about 6 years ago, was really disconnected. I was woke up one morning not really knowing, like, who I was anymore, which is very much out of alignment, because, you know, I always kind of defaulted to the type of person that, you know, regardless of what was going on, I always had hope for tomorrow. So I guess you could say I kind of had this natural ability of resilience. I was, and still am, a single mom of two sets, not one set, but two sets of twin boys, who
wow.
I raised as a single mom since they were 5 and 3 years old. So when I woke up that one morning, my younger twins were seniors in high school, and my older kids were 3 years old. I think they were 21. And I just woke up. I wasn't myself. I remember my kids had just gotten their permits, my second set of twins, and I all of a sudden became someone that worried, you know, worried in the town that they were going to get stopped by the police because, you know, it was a small little community, worried about my car insurance, and it was not my natural, wasn't who I was. I loved driving. I was so excited when my first set of twins were driving. So what happened one morning, I went to work. I worked in the nonprofit sector, and what started to happen was, you know, I realized today that I was very disconnected to why I was there in the first place, which was really to support others and to, you know, help make a difference in the system of mental health, which I was very passionate and still am passionate about. I walked into her name is Colleen. I walked into her office. She was the HR woman who I really adored. And all of a sudden, kind of tears started flowing out of my eyes. And I was just going to her just to talk about support and, you know, what was going on and, you know, really looking for some guidance. And to make a very long story short, she turned around her computer and said, you know what, Marilyn, your mental health is more important than anything. Let me show you how this can work. I bring her up because it was, I never even imagined I had a choice at that point in my life. I was a single mom as a social worker, four boys, two going to college, two going to be on their way, and really did not have the income. So let's just say from that moment on, I left that job, sold my house, moved into my parents' house with my kids, and I went to IPEC. And within, after the first module, which is module one, I started my business right away and never went back to a full-time job. From a 9-to-5. So I ended up a couple of years later buying a house near the Jersey Shore and are kind of living this life of freedom and flexibility and passion ever since.
Wow, this is a great story. Thank you.
You're
That's
welcome.
An amazing story. And let me just point out to everybody that the path to coaching is varied. You did it after Mod 1 in IPEC coach training. It took me 10 years to transition to a full-time coach. So at your own pace, but I do so admire you that because I think when Bernie and I are pretty much close together when we graduated. And at that point, we were just like, they just said, go out and coach. And I was like, I wonder what that means, you know? Which brings me to, I have got to toot Marilyn's horn because, and Bernie, I know you're going to be like, where was she when we needed it? She has started a group for people who have just gotten out of coach training to keep going, to tell them the next step, to figure out what's going on. Tell us about your group, Marilyn, because I'm just so impressed and jealous that I didn't have it when I needed it, but I'm thrilled that you're out there doing it.
But I'm thrilled you're in it, Lori. And Bernie, you're welcome, Bernie, now that I know you're an iTech grad. So first of all, let me just say, too, that you know, when I say I started my coaching business after Mod 1, let me just say that my coaching business was not sustainable at that point. I, you know, really, planned for 6 months, right, to be able to build my business. But my point is I started it, and I was able to sustain it because of the level of which I coached and coached and coached. But Life Coach Workshop, which is a Facebook community, was born from my last module in my coach training school, IPEC. It was a level 5 idea, which for those of you who don't know, it's about energy leadership. And level 5, based on energy, is a win-win. And we came up with something that was really powerful. And this was my this was born from that because I was so excited about the process and the people that I had met, and so energized that I was like sad it was ending. So I'm like, how can we keep this energy going? And I created that with what I thought was just going to be those that graduated with me, you know. And over the years, I spent so much time in the classroom going through the modules as an assistant training coach, and have just met so many people along the way and have stayed connected. So that group has 450 coaches in it, I think 455 as of today. And it is just a place that we connect, we energize, we inspire, and then we really promote each other. You know, it's like we value abundance and really stepping into where this coaching profession is going. We also really honor and value the International Coaching Federation's core competencies. And one of the most important ones is like that embodying of the coaching mindset. So it's the work we do on ourselves first so that we're able to hold those spaces for our clients.
Wow.
One more thing. I'm sorry, Bernie.
Go ahead.
Besides the Facebook community, we meet on Zoom every Wednesday evening. And, again, it's peer run, so we just bring people to share their expertise in different areas, and we do practice coaching and all things like that. So it's a lot of fun.
And you just answered my question. I was going to ask you, how do you go about interfacing with these people? So having Zoom is great. Now, Lori and I, you probably know, we were both past presidents of the New York City ICF chapter. And one of the things that we realized pretty quickly is that it really isn't how great a coach you are. It's nice to be a good coach, but a lot of people have absolutely no experience whatsoever in how to get business, how to build a business. And it's really uncomfortable and challenging. And I do think many people probably drop out because I think it's only about, you know, how great a coach I am. But it's also about business. It's a business, right?
Absolutely.
So one of the questions I'm interested in is you were a social worker for 20-plus years. How being a social worker for all that period of time, how has that helped you or maybe not helped you in your coaching business?
That's a really great question. You know, the funny thing is when I went to IPEC, I was just going, probably like many people, for a coaching certification. I had no idea that you know, the internal work that was going to be done. So I thought I was very aware. I felt like a little infant. I really did. It was new. It was very new. So I felt like I started from scratch, and I welcomed that because I started noticing things in my own life. You know, let me just say some terms of being a people pleaser, a fixer, all those terms that we hear, you know, I definitely encapsulated those types of qualities about myself that I gave and gave so much, you know, that it was no wonder why I burnt out. So let me just say those things, all of my years, those things about me that helped me to be an intuitive coach, that helped me to, you know, really practice non-judgment, and I say I think that's been a quality of mine always. Really get curious about people and what's behind the reasons behind the things that they do. But what really changed? So I utilized all of those things, of course. What really changed was my judgment of emotions, of experiences that people go through, where I used to, like, you know, if it felt bad, then it wasn't good, you know. So that, you know, for me, it was like that fixer. Oh, if someone has a problem, I'm going to go in and fix it, including with my own children. You know, I really recognized some of the things I overdid because I was actually relieving the conflicts within myself, you know, because I felt so deeply. So that's just another aspect of myself is that, you know, I'm pretty empathic, and that's always been a quality. So what really changed as a coach was learning presence, learning the reconciliation of good, bad, right, wrong. And, you know, now I kind of look at it like, who am I, you know, to go and fix a problem of, you know, say one of my kids or a client, where they're at is exactly where they need to be to find from themselves where they want to go, you know. So I just learned, you know, the idea about emotional management and intelligence in such a different way that, you know, it just, life was very different after becoming a coach. There was so much I didn't have from my past that was gained, that was just added to my knowledge. But I do show up as a coach, and I do refer out to social workers or, you know, or somewhere else if it's not for coaching. So I am not wearing both hats. I'm wearing the coaching hat. Yeah.
Okay. Thank you.
Well, let me ask you, as a person wearing a coaching hat, what changed? Mm-hmm. We've all been through a rough 2020. Goodness knows. And with more to come, I'm sure. What changes have you seen in your coaching? Because you've always helped people, you know, adapt to change and make transitions and what changes have you seen during this year, and how have you adjusted your coaching to that?
Yeah. So, you know, again, you know, very much individualized to who I'm working with. So, and I share that because for some of my clients, they're doing really well. And when I say that, COVID and some of these experiences of 2020 have caused them to slow down and to take a deeper look introspectively. So for some clients, there's been a lot of ahas from that and then growing from that place. But some of the most noticeable changes are kind of working around coping and navigating as opposed to driving forward when people have a goal and they want to drive forward. So that it's, you know, learning more about how do I want to show up? How do I want to navigate when things are not going well? What can I learn from this? How can I grow? And, you know, what does resilience look like in times like this? So I think words like resilience, identification, more emotional management, because there's so much more heaviness and uncertainty. But one of the things I'm noticing as my clients are starting to really see so many, including myself, by the way, I'm included in this, we are so much stronger than we think we are, you know, and that has been a highlight. So, yeah.
Wow. That's interesting. I was just talking to a client today who's getting stressed out about the littlest things in her office. And I had said to her, you know, studies show that people handle big emotional issues much better than little ones. You know, for instance, she was complaining that her people weren't cleaning up the desk or they were leaving the kitchen a mess, and they were driving her crazy. People can cope with, people tend to be able to cope with bigger issues, and I think this COVID is the big issue. Because I'm also finding that people seem to be coping okay with it. They're getting used to it, and you know, I think you're saying some of the same things.
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, too, and first of all, I want to just say that's really understandable because sometimes, like, because people are home so much, they are, some of the reactions to some of what they might have considered to be smaller things might be influencing them, you know, differently, right? Because they're home with their kid, they might be home with their kids and their, you know, partners there, and everybody's working from home. So, yeah, they might be reactive to their environment or, you know, other things that might be influencing. So, again, you know, just teaching my clients to how to acknowledge all of their emotions, that, you know, it really does make sense. And I have this little process called gracing, you know, and it's like, you know, we learn how to, you know, when we went through coaching training school, about acknowledging and validating how powerful that is, because it comes without judgment, right? It's just about listening. And so I really teach my clients that same process with themselves, to take that pause. It makes perfect sense why I just, you know, I felt so heavy from seeing all those things all over the place that I just cleaned, you know. And then gracing is the process of acknowledging, just like imagining that warm blanket covering you so that, you know, you're not reactive to your emotions, yet you feel more in empowered to choose, you know, what to do next, you know.
So that's one big concept. I love the concept of gracing. And did you create that yourself?
Yeah, I just thought that's been like this. It was like ring. Do I have to get it like the trademark or something? No, I'm just kidding.
Yes, you should.
I've always loved the word
and
grace.
Put it in
grace. Yeah, so I guess there's something, you know, even, you know, we like energy attracts like energy. So a lot of my clients, too, are very, those visual things, those experiential things. So that vision of gracing for me is the process of acknowledging and validating and pausing, you know, so that, you know, in life, when we're not taking that step, you know, most of us, when we're just getting by in life, which is pretty common today with all that's going on, are their actions are being influenced by their emotions, right? So if they're angry, you know, the immediate reaction might be to scream or whatever it may be, right? But gracing is about pausing, recognizing, what is this anger telling me? You know, I always love the idea that anger, you know, is really generated from love, because anger is just telling us that something we care about deeply is being violated, you know? So that gracing gives us that moment to just kind of pause. Yeah, but I did create the term working on the acronym.
That would mean it's an acronym, yeah.
Maybe you'll play with me someday.
Sure.
I have quite a few words, but yeah.
I was perusing your website, and Lori also mentioned that you work transitional leadership coaching is one of the areas that you're focusing on. What can you tell us a little bit about what that is?
Yeah, let me just say, I was definitely one of these that, you know, never like niched into like, okay, I work with midlifers, you know. I do a lot of different programs, so I'll do midlife mastery. I love working with millennials and younger people. But the core is really the same, is about transitions, I believe. Well, the truth is we are always in transitions. I guess even that process I'm calling gracing is so that we can navigate transitions with more peace, clarity, and purpose. So the transition is just being at choice, and as we become more aware of who we truly are, not who we've become, then we're able to kind of transition in a way that is more energized, more aligned with who we are. I always say success cannot not happen when we are aligned with our truest self. So transition really just identifies the movement that we take from every minute to the next. And I work with my clients on empowering language with themselves, the way we speak to ourselves. We don't even think that we're constantly having conversations with our brain. So typically, you know, without this awareness, I know the way I would speak to myself before was like, you know, why did you eat that last night, Marilyn? You know, why? Because you have no self-control, you know. And that's the way I would have conversations without even knowing. So empowering language helps to move somebody forward to learn from. So there's the transition piece. The leadership piece is very much about being the leaders of our own lives, that regardless of who we are, how well are we motivating, navigating, leading, inspiring our own selves towards action and change, and of course, therefore, impacting those around. So whether you're in a business, whether you're at home with your kids, you know, that is that leadership. Though I have done the leadership training, the core dynamics, and really help my clients to create that personal success formula, you know, so that transitioning and being the leader that, you know, really inspires is incredibly impactful.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
You're welcome.
What are some tricks that you have, or just a tip or two? Because I see part of what you do is mindset growth. And it's like it's easy to say that, and I have little sayings that I do all the time. What are some tricks that you do, or what are tools do you use to facilitate that with your clients?
Yeah, so, you know, there's definitely, like, some teaching, right? And so one of the things that most of my clients, I don't want to say all of them get, how they use it is up to them, but they're really throughout the weeks, and, you know, we say that most of the work and insights, actions happen between sessions, right? So one of the things I always ask my clients to be very mindful for of, and I actually created a little form. They can, again, use it as they like. Some people mentally take notes. Some fill in the form. But what it is, I call it conscious communication. And it's everything, you know, gracing is involved in it, by the way. But anyway, they're just taking note. They're noticing their own emotions. What are the events that are triggering or stimulating, not just unpleasant emotions, but pleasurable ones too. And just taking notice, what's going on, you know? So if someone feels really peaceful and calm, just take a pause a second. You know, what values am I in aligned with right now, you know? And just notice, you know, what was going on before. What did that peace, how did I show up? What actions did I take? And then what were the results? And the same thing for triggering emotions, you know, the ones that trigger more unpleasant emotions, such as, you know, anxiety or fear. So this way, when we gain that awareness, we can kind of take a look, that deeper look, about what are the thoughts, and they actually write down their thoughts, what are some of the beliefs, messages that influence those emotions, the sensations in the body, and then what actions. And there I teach them that pause, right? And then what actions do they take and what results? And again, this is not about making right choices or wrong choices. It's about making aware choices, you know, just aware with awareness. So that's one trick that I don't even want to call it a trick. To me, it's really emotional intelligence and it's awareness. But I think the actual doing of Lord, like just like you said, we can hear these things, but it's the action that we start to embody it, and then we start to really believe it, you know, and then we start to live it, and then we don't have to think about it anymore, and that's amazing.
Fantastic.
Wow. This is really great because you're touching on such important areas that I think all of us have seen. It's just it's energizing just to hear about it. Other than Marilyn, other than COVID, because we've talked so much about that over the last couple of months, one area that you're finding that may be a common theme amongst executives today that they're having a challenge with?
I feel like saying yes, but I won't because you're asking me the questions. Oh, my gosh. I mean, this has been like a real I want to say I gave myself a pat on the shoulder because, you know, as coaches, we're not judging anything. And, you know, the political climate today, of course, all the you know, the racial, you know, things that have gone on, the political tone today, that has impacted, you know, that's impacting many of my clients. So, more so than COVID, as far as I am seeing. Like, I hear more about that right now than I do COVID. I think people are starting to get used to, maybe a little concerned right now because cases have gone up again, but right now, so I might have clients that, you know, are like devastated if this president wins, and the other one is devastated if the other wins. But you know what? That work that we do as coaches, and this is why I just love coaching, is still the same. You know, it's helping them to, you know, identify the messages, the fears, and helping them to safety net, you know, to, you know, strategize their worst case scenarios, you know. And but yeah, that's been really impactful. Just the unrest, you know, and people are having, you know, discord with families, friends.
Let me
just say that.
I've been looking in one other country to move to.
Yeah. I'm sorry, what's that?
I've been looking at what other country to live in, perhaps Canada.
And you found the Catskills. That's good.
If Trump wins, I'll say it on the phone. If he wins, I want to leave the country. But I live in the United States of New York, I say, so we're a little safe in New York. But sorry.
Well, you know what? I might have some clients listening, so I'm going to stay out of the I do. I think I have clients, but, you know, I do on both ends. And, you know, So, yes, it's really been difficult. That's been a really difficult place to navigate for people. It's touching things very deeply. Let's just say that.
Let me just say that Marilyn and I are going to do a television show on transitions, and it's going to air on the night of November 3rd, because we figure whatever happens, if and if nothing happens, there are going to be a lot of people in transition, so we're just going to give you a few hints. Here's how to get through it all, but we'll give you more information about that. But we only have like a minute left, Marilyn. How can people get in touch with you? Let's let them know that.
Well, first of all, that is absolutely shocking that, you know, I really can talk a while. This seemed like 5 minutes to me, but anyway.
I know.
How can people get in touch with me? Yeah, so MarilynRoseCoaching@gmail.com. I do you know, complimentary sessions. I just love, you know, I'd love to chat with you and just hear what you're going through. And I have a lot of different things that are going on in order to meet needs of kind of, you know, wherever different people are at. Tonight I'm actually doing an empath workshop because that's something that hits close to home. So, again, this group that is coming on tonight, you know, we really do feel very deeply this conflict that's in the world today. So this is just something else that I, you know, really I'm passionate about is helping people that are highly sensitive and, you know, really empathic to navigate emotions so that they can use their gifts, their intuitive gifts, to really support them as opposed to, you know, feeling less than. So, but yes, Marilyn Rose Coaching, as you know, I'm sorry, MarilynRoseCoaching.com, and the email is MarilynRoseCoaching@gmail.com.
So, well, yeah. It is great to know that you're out there. And Bernie, it's great to know that you're in the Catskills, but you just told me you're coming home, so that's good. I can't wait for that.
Yeah.
And I'll just say that we will talk to y'all again in November, and then we may have a decision on who's running the country, but maybe not. We'll just have to wait and see.
I know. We'll see. We'll see. But everybody stay healthy, and it was really great being on here with you, Bernie, and Lori, as
Thank
always.
You.
Thank you. Take care, everybody.
Thank you.
We'll
bye,
talk
everybody.
To you in November.
Okay, great.
Bye-bye.
Take care, everybody. Goodbye.
Bye.